Shalom to all. Today's episode of Blaster Daf Kuf Yud Tes. So we are starting about the ninth line at the two dots with a quote from the Mishnah of Shai Bachar Netel Shnei Chalakim. And today's daf is sponsored by Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sarah Basu Yaakov Moshe Hernes Shamash and Haven Aliyah. So this goes back to Mishnah. Continuing to discuss the Bnei Tzlafchad, and we had said that among the portions they received, one was considered a double portion because their father Tzlafchad was a Bachar. Now the Gemara asked the question that even though we discussed it previously, the Makshin did not know this. That's why it asks as follows: Vamai, why is this? Why would they receive double? Royhu, this double portion is considered Roy Vena Bachar Netel Baroy Kiv Mochzik, and a Bachar doesn't get Roy like he does Mochzik. And as we said, we already discussed this previously, Roy is something that is fitting to come to him, but is not there yet, as opposed to Mochzik, which is something that he already had. So let's say we have a father and a son, whatever the father is Mochzik on, whatever he currently owns when he passes away, so Bachar is going to get double in that, but something that's Roy to come to the father, for example, Yerusha is going to be coming to him from one of his relatives, if the father did not have that yet when he passed away, the Bachar does not get double in that. So as their father, Slavchar, was able to get two portions, and they're going to get that double portion, if Eretz Yisrael was Roy, we didn't own Eretz Yisrael yet, they were still in their travels in the Midbar. Some of you Yehudah Shmuel, he answers, you're right, when they got double portion from their father, it wasn't a double portion in Eretz Yisrael. It was Beisedis Oilim, the tent pegs. In other words, they only got double portion in Metaltolin. The reason why they're saying tent pegs is because for sure, everyone had a tent, and tents are held up with pegs. And so they for sure got double portion in that, in other Metaltolin as well, but they actually did not receive a double portion in Eretz Yisrael itself. However, Masav Rabba, Rabba asks on this, we have a brass that tells Rabbi Yehudah says, B'nai Slavchad, Notu Dan Chalakim. B'nai Slavchad got four portions in Eretz Yisrael. Because the pasuk says, "Vayiplu chevle menashe asara," we had made this cheshbon previously in the Gemara, so we clearly see that they got a double portion in Eretz Yisrael. How could you say that they didn't? Elam Rabba, rather, Rabba answers differently. Eretz Yisrael mechzekesi. Eretz Yisrael is mechzekes, and again, we already said this before. Eretz Yisrael was considered to be owned by the Yidden right when they left Mitzrayim, even though they didn't actually physically have possession of it yet until they went in way later. But it's still considered to be mechzek, and that's why they were able to get double. However, we have another question on this. Meisve Amar Chidka Chidka tells us, "Shemen hashikmani hayli charim." Talmidim Rabbi Kiva, Shimon HaShikmani was a colleague of mine, he was a friend of mine, and he was of the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva. And this Rabbi Shimon HaShikmani said, Moshe Rabbeinu of course knew that Bnei Tzlafchad were supposed to get Yerusha. When they came to him asking, do we get our father's Yerusha? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to go ask Hashem, and then he came back from Hashem with the answer. Moshe Rabbeinu already knew this. So what is it that he was asking Hashem? He just didn't know if they were supposed to get a double portion in Eretz Yisrael because their father Tzlafchad was a Bechar. And the parsha of Nachlois, the entire topic and discussion of who an inheritance goes to first and who it goes to next, really could have been written by Moshe Rabbeinu. He was taught it by Hashem. He of course knew it, as we just said previously, and he could have written on his own without having anything to do with Bnei Tzlafchad. El shezach Bnei Tzlafchad nicht val yadon. It's just that they were zeicha, they were meritorious, that it was written through them, meaning because of their question, it was written afterwards. But obviously Moshe Rabbeinu knew it beforehand. And something similar as well. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Mekashish was supposed to be killed. Who's the Mekashish? So this is a parsha in the Torah that tells us that there was a man who's Mekashish ate him on Shabbos, and this machlek is what Mekashish is. It could be he was gathering it, could be he was cutting this wood, but either which way, he did something that was Mechal Shabbos Midai Raisa. And they came to him saying, Moshe, we found this guy being Mekashish ate him. What do we do? He said, let me ask Hashem. So really, he knew what to do. He knew that the person was supposed to be killed. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Mechal Lamos Yumas. So Mechal Shabbos has to die. Avoloyedea be'ezu misa hu yamos. It's just that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what misa he should be killed with. There's four different types of misa. And really, the parsha of the Mekashish could have been written by Moshe. Elshin is Chayim Mekashish v'nichtu al yadai. It's just the Mekashish was found to be guilty, and so it was written through him. Meaning this halacha that if a person is Mechal Shabbos, he's Chayiv Skila, that came through the actions of the Mekashish. Now, Lamedcha, both of these things teach you, Kof Yates on Bezan Tab, Shamagagal and Schos Aide Zakai, V'chayva Aide Chayiv, that we bring Schos through a person who's Zakai, and we bring Chayva through one who's Chayiv. In other words, since the Bnei Tzlafchad were meritorious, they were Chashiv people, they brought this important thing about, that's why this parsha of the Torah was written through them, and by the same token, the opposite way, a person who's Chayiv, he's guilty, he did something wrong, like the Mekashesh, the parsha was written through him as well. Now, after this long braisa, we finally asked the question, if you want to say that Eretz Yisrael was Mechzekes, it was considered to be owned by Am Yisrael already, what was Moshe Rabbeinu bothered by? We said Moshe Rabbeinu knew the parsha of Nachlois, he just didn't know if they get double. Why wouldn't he know if they get double? If Eretz Yisrael was Mechzekes, of course they would get double because of the Bechayra of their father. And the answer is, that exactly was his suffix. Because the pasuk says, when Asati Oselchem by Rasha Ani Hashem, and I shall give it to you as a Rasha, I am Hashem. Now this was told to the people who left Mitzrayim and was said about Eretz Yisrael, then I'm going to give Eretz Yisrael to you as a Rasha. Now the question is, what does the word Rasha mean? It obviously has something to do with an inheritance, but what specifically is Hashem saying? On one hand, it could be that they're being told, Yerusha hi lochem me'avaseichem, this is considered Yerusha to you from your forefathers, which means that the people that left Mitzrayim, even though they didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, it still was considered a Yerusha to them, and that would make them Uchzekes. Or perhaps, maybe it means, Shem Mayurishin ve'enon yarshin, that they're just going to be Mayurish Eretz Yisrael to their children, who are going to be the ones to go into the land, but they themselves aren't considered Yarshim, and then that means they would not be Muchzik. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu's Suffolk was, and postulate was answered for him, meaning Hashem answered the question by saying, Chavayu, it's both understandings of the Pasuk, Yerusha Lachem Yavaseichem, Umayrishin Ve'enon Yarshin. That Eretz Yisrael is Yerusha to you from your forefathers, which means that everyone left Mitzrayim is considered to own Eretz Yisrael right now, and that makes them Muchzik in it. However, they're also only going to be Mayrashit and not be Yoyreshit because they're not going to be going into Eretz Yisrael. And behind Tuchse, that's also Pshat in the Pasuk that we read in Oz Yashir every day, Tiviyema Visiteema Bahar Nachlascha, you'll bring them and set them or plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. Now, Tiviye Nuloy Namar, in Oz Yashir, they did not say that you will bring us, Ela Tiviye Mai, you will bring them. This teaches us that they had Nevuah and they didn't even realize what Nevuah they were having because they didn't realize that they weren't going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but there was still Nevuah in this by the fact that they use this word Tiviye Mai and not Tiviye Nu. We also include the section as well that Moshe Rabbeinu did have this suffix, does Bukhar get double in Eretz Yisrael? And the answer was that yes, because Eretz Yisrael is Mochsek. And we continue discussing in B'nai Slavcha, the Pasuk says, V'tamayna lefnei Moshe, v'lefnei Elazar HaKoyin, v'lefnei HaNesim, v'chol HaEda. And they stood in front of Moshe, in front of Elazar HaKoyin, and in front of the Nesim, and in front of all the congregation. Now the question says as follows, after Amdu lefnei Moshe v'chulu, v'loy Amru lehen davar, is it possible they stood in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, asked him this question about the Nachlor, the father, he didn't answer them, so then they went to Elazar HaKoyin, and he didn't answer them, v'amdu lefnei HaNesim, v'chol HaEda, and then they went to Nesim and the rest of the congregation to ask them the question? That doesn't make sense. If you go to the chief head honcho, if you go to Moshe Rabbeinu and he doesn't answer the question, no one else is going to have an answer either. So how does this make sense? And the answer is, Elo Saris HaMikra V'Darshayu. We have to reverse the Pasuk and explain it the other way around. Div Rabbi Yeshe, that's what Rabbi Yeshe says. In other words, when the Pasuk says, V'tamayna lefnei Moshe v'lefnei Elazar HaKoyin, that means that they stood in front of Moshe after they had stood in front of Elazar HaKoyin, v'lefnei HaNesiim, and that was after they had stood in front of the Nesiim, v'chol HaEda, that was after they stood in front of the Eda. In other words, we went from the bottom of the chain all the way to the top, and it just mentions Moshe Rabbeinu first in the Pasuk, but they really went to him last. However, Abba Chana Amar Moshe Rabbeinu Lezer is a different answer. Everyone was sitting in the Beis Medrash, and they came and stood in front of everyone, and that's why it says they were in front of Moshe and Elazar and the Nesiim and Chol Eda, because everyone was there in the Beis Medrash. And the question is, what's the machlekas over here? Answer is, according to Rabbeinu Lezer, one's allowed to give kavod to a Talmud even though his Rebbe is there, and whereas Rabbi Yeshia holds, you're not allowed to. That's what Rabbi Yeshia had to explain. That first they went to Chol Eda, then they went to Nesiim, afterwards to Elazar, and finally to Moshe Rabbeinu. Whereas Rabbeinu Lezer says that no, they went into the Beis Medrash, everyone was there, and they didn't just pose the question to Moshe, they posed the question to everybody, and that's considered being mechalik kavod l'talmid makom harav. Even though the Rebbe's there, they're still allowed to give kavod to the Talmud by posing the question to them as well. And v'hilchasa, what's a halacha? Chalkin, that one's allowed to give kavod to the Talmud even though the Rebbe's there. And v'hilchasa, the halacha is ein chalkin, that one's not allowed to give kavod to the Talmud when the Rebbe's there. And obviously, kash hilchasa hilchasa, we have a question, one halacha on the other. You can't paskin like both. And the answer is that no problem, hilchasa hilchasa like kasha. There's no question, hilchasa hilchasa, had the palagay rabbi yikra, had the loy palagay rabbi yikra. One is talking about when the Rebbe doesn't give kavod to the Talmud, meaning the Rebbe doesn't show deference to the Talmud when he's in his presence, so then you're not allowed to either. But in a place where the Rebbe does show deference to the Talmud, he shows him kavod, so then you're allowed to as well. And we know that Moshe showed kavod to all of Am Yisrael, and therefore B'nai Slavchan as well were allowed to ask everyone else, even though they were in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we continue discussing them. Tanu, we have a brayso. B'nai Slavchan, Chachmani Yisain, Darshani Yisain, Tzidkani Yisain. The B'nai Slavchan were wise; they knew how to darshan, and they were also tzidkani Yis. Chachmani Yisain, what does this mean that they were wise? Shalafi Shah Dibru, they spoke at the proper time. It's not they had this issue and they went running to Moshe Rabbeinu right away to ask him. They waited for the opportune time to ask him the question where it would be received much better. The Rosh Hashanah Yitzchak, he tells us, this teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting and darshaning the parsha of Yibam. Shnever the Pasuk says, when brothers are living together, meaning they're alive at the same time, and that one of the brothers dies without children, so the other brother has a mitzvah to marry the deceased brother's wife. However, if the deceased brother left over a son or a daughter, so then there is no mitzvah of Yibam. So right after Moshe Rabbeinu taught this halacha, B'nai Slavcha jumped in, and Amru Loi, they told Moshe, Im keben anu chshuvin, if we're considered like a son, because by the fact that we're alive, there's no mitzvah of Yibam, t'nalo nachla keben, so then give us a nachla like a son. And Imlav, if you want to say that we're not considered like a son, and that we're not going to get nachla, t'siab menu, so let our mother do Yibam. That was a very wise way of presenting the question, miyad, right away, v'yakar v'moshe's mishpat l'fnei Hashem, and Moshe brought their mishpat to Hashem, and so we see they were very wise. What about the next part of the braisa, darshani yisain? How do we know that they were darshani yisain? They knew how to darshan psukim? Shayu aimers, because they told Moshe, ilu hayolai ben, if he had a son, loy dibarnu, then we wouldn't have said anything. And we've already mentioned this previously, that they said, because our father doesn't have a son, he should lose out. And obviously they knew how to darshan the pasuk. Ask the Gemara, how could you say this? Vatanya, we have a braisa that tells us, bas, that they said, if our father had a daughter, then we wouldn't have asked this question. How do we reconcile these two braises? So Rabbi answers, sami mikan bas, take out the braisa of bas, it's not a valid braisa. Whereas Abayam Rabbi says that no, it is a valid braisa, and this is what they were trying to say. Afilu hayo bas leben lo dibarnu. Even if our father had a daughter from a son, we wouldn't have said anything. In other words, according to this brisa, Menas Lavchad, we're telling Moshe Rabbeinu that if our father had a granddaughter through a son, we wouldn't have said anything either, because we know the nachlan would go to the granddaughter, not to us. But since he doesn't have that, that's why we're asking you. And now the last part of the brisa had said, Kanyos saying, there were Kanyos. How do we know this? Shalaynisu el hagulahen. The only married people who were fitting to them. And we're going to see this at greater length tomorrow, but this is referring to where Moshe Rabbeinu had told them that you can get married to whomever you want. However, you should marry people who are hagun, which means you should marry people of the same shevet. And that's what made them say Kanyos, that even though, as we just said, they were allowed to marry whomever they wanted, any man from any shevet, they still waited for a long time to marry men within their shevet. And that's why there shouldn't be a transference of a nachla from their shevet to a different one. And Tanur Blazer Yaakov, he teaches, Afilu Ketana Shebehen, even the youngest one, Loi Nises Pchus Me'arbaim Shana, she didn't get married younger than 40 years old, meaning all of the Bnei Slavchad were over 40 years old when they got married, and that's because, again, they wanted to wait till the right husband came along from their shevet. Ask the Gemara, and is that really so? V'amar Chizr, Chizr says, Nises Pchus Me'arbas Asrim, if a person gets married younger than 20, Yeledes HaShishem, she can have children up until 60 years old. Bas Asrim, if she gets married older than 20, Yeledes HaArbaim, she can have children up until 40. Bas HaArbaim, but if she gets married past 40, Shoveni Yeledes, she can't have children past then. Elo Mitoshet Tzidkanyos, it's because they were Tzidkanyos, Nasol Hen Neis Ki Yecheved, a Neis was made for them like Yecheved, that they had children even after 40. And again, what made them Tzidkanyos is that they wanted to wait till their proper husband came along from their Shevet. Now what's with Yecheved? Remember, Yecheved is Moshe Rabbeinu's mother. The Pasuk says, V'yelechesh Mibes Levi V'yikach Bas Levi, that a man went from the house of Levi and he married the daughter of Levi. Now the daughter of Levi over here is actually talking about the real daughter of Levi, which is Yecheved. Kufcha Pomer off on top. The question is, Efshar Bas Meir Shoshim Shana V'kar La Bas, is it possible that we have a 130-year-old woman and she's being called a Bas, a daughter, which implies that she's very young? And who's this referring to? Damar V'chama Bar Chanina Zu Yecheved. This is referring to Yecheved, Shai Rasa Baderech. Levi's wife conceived her along the way, meaning as they were on their way to Mitzrayim, and V'nol De Ben HaChaimes, she was born Ben HaChaimes, which according to Rashi means she was actually born as they were entering Mitzrayim. According to other Mepharshim, it means she was born once they got into Mitzrayim. Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Asher Yolda Oysa Levi B'Mitzrayim, that she was born to Levi in Mitzrayim, Leidas B'Mitzrayim V'Rasa Shaloi Mitzrayim, she was born in Mitzrayim, but her conception was outside of Mitzrayim. And so the question is, how are we calling a 130-year-old woman a daughter, a Bas? And so Amai Karlo Bas, why is she being called a Bas? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvida, Melamed teaches us, Shenodu Bas Simani Nairis, signs of youth came back to her, Nisadin Abasar, her skin softened, Nispashto Akmatim, her wrinkles smoothed out, Mechazar Yoifi L'mkaimai, and the Yoifi beauty went back to its place, which means her menstrual cycle came back, and so she became like a young woman again. And we know that she had Moshe Rabbeinu after she reunited with her husband Amram. And the same thing happened to the Bnei Slavchad, even though they got married, past 40 years old. Now once we talk about Yecheved reuniting with her husband, we continue discussing it. The Pasuk tells us, Vayikach, that a Ben Levi took a Bas Levi, and the question is, Vayachzar M'Bayolei, it should say that he remarried her. He didn't take her from the beginning. It wasn't the first time they were married. They were married beforehand, and now he's just remarrying her. So Rehuda Bar Zvida, he answers, Malamed teaches us, She'asa lo masa lekuchin, he did a maisa of lekuchin, meaning he took her as if he was marrying her for the first time. Hashiva Apirion, he put her in an Apirion, which is like a fancy kala chair of sorts, which is usually only for first-time kalas, and she wasn't a first-time kala. Va'arna Miriam Misharin Lefaneha, and Aaron and Miriam, who were her children that she already had, were singing in front of her, and Malach Yasharis Aymrim, the Malachim were saying, Im Haban Mismecha, a mother of children rejoices. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow, continuing to discuss B'nai Slavchad. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.